One of the biggest issues facing the city today is one that seems to pit one half of the city against the other, and that's how we deal with crime and how we deal with aggressive policing. And in the context of that, I have to ask you about the killing of Edson Thevenin. Edson Thevenin was shot and killed by Sergeant Randall French on April 17, 2016. An internal affairs report issued by the Troy Police Department concluded that French was not justified in using deadly force in this street encounter with Thevenin, and that he provided false testimony about the events surrounding the encounter. That memo was not made public until a whistleblower alerted Thevenin's widow, who's suing the city for violating Thevenin's civil rights. The U.S. magistrate, Daniel Stewart, ordered it to be made public as part of that case. This is concerning to a number of Troy residents, but even more concerning is that your administration then hired a law enforcement consultant who wrote a second report, rebutting the findings in the first one, the one that found that French wasn't justified. That memo has not been made public because lawyers for your administration have argued that the memo is protected as attorney work product. The judge in the civil rights lawsuit agreed that the city was justified in keeping it confidential. Mr. Mayor, I'm an attorney. I understand attorney work product, and I also understand how difficult these cases are. But there have been protests. Many people are very angry about this. Many people who support you, and some have claimed that there's a lack of transparency. Others are just simply confused. The black man was killed by an officer, something that happens far too often in this country. This man had kids. This man leaves behind a wife. I want to give you the opportunity to explain, not about the liability, not about the case, but about the relationships in this city around aggressive policing and police violence. How do you explain to an audience who might not be clear on what's going on?
Yes, well, so this is a very complex topic, and I think that what the public needs to know is that we are committed to due process in this case. The Thevenin family deserves due process. The French family deserves due process. The community needs due process and has carved a path by which we pursue due process, and that's in a court of law. So attorneys will do their investigations and their motions. We're trying to ensure that this case progresses through court and that it's not tried on social media, on the editorial page of a newspaper, where all the facts can be laid out in the process that is designed to evaluate facts. From the beginning, the second tragedy of this case has been the politicalization of this matter, first by the former district attorney, then by the attorney general, then by those who have propensities one way or the other. They generally don't like police officers, or they generally don't like African Americans, and then by media outlets. This will come out. Everything will come out in a court of law. That's what we're aiming for. That's where we believe the best shot at coming up with what the truth is, what actually happened, how it played out, who's at fault, who's not at fault. That's got to be done in a courtroom. We're not going to do that in the media. We're not going to do that by sitting in a room yelling at each other. Let this play out through the court. Everything that we've done in this will become public at some point. But I want it to go through the court process. I think the family of Edson Thevenin deserves an answer. And they have been, they've frankly been abused by first the DA and then the Attorney General and then others who have other political interests in the outcome here. This has gone on for a very, very long time. But the fact of the matter is, we couldn't do anything for the 650 days that the Attorney General was looking at this matter. So they're out of the picture. Discovery, to my understanding, is completed. We're on the threshold of the courthouse. Let's go in. Let's figure this out in a court where these things are supposed to be decided. And we'll live with the consequences.
Do you think there's a need for reform in the policies that govern the city's police force?
That's a very broad question. I don't know what policies in particular you're referring to. But
I'm interested in what policies you might
think. So we have, whenever an incident occurs in the police department, there's a review of the of what occurred and the policies that are in play that might have impacted that. When is it appropriate to use deadly force? When is it not appropriate? What preconditions might there be? Everything is reviewed. So there have been changes based on this and other incidents as well. It's a fairly common practice. Policies about how you might stop a vehicle, policies about how you might position yourself, policies about what equipment we might use to stop a fleeing vehicle that might be safer in certain conditions. So everything is reviewed, new trainings are developed, so that's a constant and ongoing process within the Troy Police Department. And I've recently sat with Assistant Chief Keene, who oversees training, and I reviewed the training protocols and the various topics that are covered. And there have been a lot of changes in the past several years, and I'm very pleased at some of the things they're doing. So they're spending more time on de-escalation, learning about cultural bias. They're spending more time learning about, there's a great course, how we handle situations where a person is perceived to have mental illness. That's a 40-hour course. That's an amazing course. It's not mandatory in our police department, but about 75% of the department has taken it. Helping our officers deal more effectively with the public, and by effectively I mean by de-escalating, using the least amount of violence or force that is necessary. They're coming a long way in some of these trainings, but they're constantly monitoring each incident, not just the Thevenin incident, but each incident where force is used is reviewed. At any time any force is used, and force could be as simple as guiding somebody into a car, that is reviewed by the brass, and they take what lessons they can out of that and modify things, the training for the police department. And, you know, we're not afraid to deal with bad police officers. Since I've been here, there are several police officers who are no longer here. It's not a quick process. There's lots of state civil service and union protections, but we're not afraid to work through those and remove the bad apples.
I think I want to go back to ask you another question based on what you said about the Edson Thevenin case, because I'm struggling to understand it in the position that I'm coming from, not just as a journalist, but as a resident. Why did you hire a consultant to generate a second report?
The decision to undertake analysis or reports is something that the police department does. It's part of the investigation.
So not just an internal affairs review, but then a second review?
There were items that concerned them, and they wanted to have it reviewed. And that's a routine of any criminal investigation.
So is that your decision or the police department's decision, or is that one and the same?
Well, I'm not qualified to read and interpret and analyze some of the reports that come out. So I would rely on the expertise of others. And the police department came to me with concerns about this and a recommendation that we have somebody take a look at it. So I approved that. So it was a joint decision in that respect.
And just to explain to a layperson why that second report is not, I understand that it's attorney work product, but I don't think most people understand what that means. They're looking at a life and death situation, and they're saying, I want to understand too. And I also, I understand what you're saying about not wanting to try a case in the court of public opinion, but that first report is public. Why not release the second report?
Well, the first report is would not have been public under New York state law because that's protected. So it wasn't anything that we could have released. When the federal judge said release it, we did. But we needed a judge to tell us that that was okay to release. It doesn't mean everything then becomes public. And in any lawsuit, there will be materials that each side develops that will inform how they look at the case, how they prosecute the case or defend the case. And so that is just on advice of attorneys that this is attorney work product and they'd rather not release it at this time.